You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic.
Do you enjoy the Stable Management Podcast? Want to learn even more about horse healthcare? Get your management and industry questions answered at Ask the Horse Live, a free audio event available exclusively from thehorse.com. Each Ask the Horse Live episode focuses on a specific equine healthcare topic chosen by our editors. We gather leading veterinarians, researchers, and industry experts to tackle your toughest questions. You can also hear on-demand episodes of Ask the Horse on thehorse.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm your host, Haley Peffer, and my guest today is Christy Seymour of The Equestrian Mind. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Good morning.
So we're going to jump right into our topic today, which is a very difficult one, I know, for most of our listeners, and that is maintaining a work-life balance in the equestrian industry and preventing burnout, which is also huge. So could you just start off by telling us what makes burnout such a common issue in this industry specifically, and why should equestrians be taking it so seriously?
So burnout is a serious work-related problem, and it can leave people feeling exhausted, ineffective, and really unmotivated. It can cause problems in your mental health, your physical health, your day-to-day life. And it's such a common issue because horses don't take days off. You know, they require 24/7 care. They're can be long hours, unpredictable schedules, and versus an office job, there's no real off switch. Another reason is the physical and the emotional demands are really high. Sometimes it's often repetitive work. And, you know, the people that work in this field are really, most of them really care deeply about the horses and their clients. And so sometimes that also makes it harder for people to set boundaries and say no when they're already trying to do too much. I also think that in our industry, there's a culture of toughness. I think that historically, the industry has always said, you know, if you just work through your exhaustion, you know, you have a passion, you just have to keep doing it and plugging it away. And I think that it probably has normalized unhealthy habits and can make people feel guilty for needing some rest, you know. So I think you said, why should stable managers take it seriously? In my opinion, it's a safety risk. Exhausted staff are more likely to make mistakes. You know, if you handle horses, you know, unsafely, improperly, you might miss illness signs in horses, or, you know, you could have an accident with your harrows as you're, you know, dragging the ring or something like that. And it can affect your staff retention. When you have high turnover, it's expensive and it's very disruptive to the horses. And so, also, as a manager, you need to take care of yourself. You're very vulnerable because if you're burned out, you can't lead effectively and your stress will set the tone for the whole stable.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how you mentioned the culture of toughness. I think that's such a great way of putting it. And I think people need to kind of evaluate if maybe they're even inadvertently contributing to that because it's... Mm-hmm. Certainly rewarded, but I'm not sure that it necessarily should be, at least not in the way that we're currently rewarding it. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about burnout, how could managers spot these early warning signs of burnout in themselves, their staff, or even clients or boarders? Because we know that, you know, somebody's training clients or riders might also experience this and somebody might need to help them recognize it.
I think that's a great question. And Having a clinical background, I just want to bring up this little point. We have stress in our lives, and there's a little bit of a difference between stress and burnout. So stress is like a natural response to a challenging situation, right? But burnout is a more severe and chronic kind of condition. And so that results when you have more prolonged stress. Okay. So an early warning sign of burnout could be you're just getting more frustrated and you're more irritable. You just don't feel like getting up and going to work. You're losing your motivation. You might have problems focusing, for example. You might find yourself getting more colds. You might find yourself just getting worn down. And your immune system is kind of taking the brunt of what's going on in your environment around you. Maybe you're having problems sleeping through the night. You're starting to doubt yourself. You don't believe in yourself as much. So it's just like an overall sense of dissatisfaction, you know? So I would say for boarders, if they're a little bit more crabby or they have more complaints or they're just not showing up for their horse like they normally would, you might want to just say, I wonder what's going on with Mrs. Jones. And just trying to check in with your staff and see how are they feeling emotionally. Sometimes people's work performance, you know, like I said, they skip work, they arrive late. You know, they're not as engaging in the morning, good morning, you know, and they're just kind of avoiding you. So they're just feeling a little bit more detached. So those would be some of the things I would look out for.
Yeah. And I also think that, you know, if you're maybe not showing up for the horses in the same way, or you're becoming more frustrated with them more easily, that's something that I've seen personally. And I know that it's something that I really want to watch for in myself very closely, because obviously they feel it before even the people that we work around do. So something that we often hear in any industry is work-life balance, but I think horse people specifically really struggle with this, probably because horses need our attention 24/7. So what are some practical strategies that you might have for helping equestrians create a work-life balance when their horse needs care all the time, every day?
Yeah, this is the big question, isn't it? I really think that balance doesn't mean equal time. I think it means intentional time. So having clear routines, maybe looking at your duties for the different workers, trying to find ways so that you don't feel like you're always on. So again, with those routines, having it so that both the horses and the staff know what to expect. Maybe you could do cross training so that someone can cover one part, and so someone doesn't always feel always on. Building in breaks, making sure that people are, you know, hydrating themselves and getting food. just looking at your workflow and seeing where you can outsource things, like setting appointments for the farrier and, you know, just maybe handling some of the deliveries for your feed and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know that's something that a lot of barn managers and equestrians in general struggle with is outsourcing things and delegating.
Yeah.
Or asking for help. So that's something that I think we all might be able to work on a little bit. Do you have any tips for that?
You know, just trying to stay organized and just using the resources that you have and working to people's strengths. If you've got someone that is good at organizing or doing this or that, let them. And just kind of ask and see if somebody wants to take on something. I don't think that people ask for help enough.
Yeah, I'll be the first to admit I don't ask for help enough, especially when it comes to my horses. And then I usually do end up a little bit extra crabby after several weeks of doing that. So it's definitely something we all need to work on. So you spoke about boundaries very briefly, I think, with my first question, but I do want to circle back to that because that's another thing that I think we're all not great at. So can you tell us how can stable managers and barn owners set boundaries with their clients without compromising the horse's welfare? And how can they manage their client expectations?
We could do a whole podcast on boundaries, but, you know, think of boundaries as a protection for both you and the horses and the business. Make sure, in my opinion, that you're communicating clearly. Post your barn hours. Make sure that things like your emergency protocols and stuff like that are clear. What you post, stick with it. Be consistent. You know what I mean? And just use your signs. Make sure you have client agreements. Just make sure that you model what you are putting out there. You know what I mean? So if you're the kind of person that's going to answer texts at midnight, then all your clients are going to hear about, you know, hey, Heather's going to do this. So then, you know what I mean? Then you're going to get bombarded at all times. So just trying to identify what you need and then matching that and communicating that out and being consistent.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's something that I had to figure out, I think, for myself a little bit is, you know, you need to just set the expectations early because I used to be that type of person who would answer my texts at all hours of the night. And then I started realizing that if it's not a true emergency, it could wait until the next morning. And it definitely made a big difference in how fresh I was and how I showed up for the horses the next day. So I think that's something that people should really take seriously.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we talk about boundaries, we talk about those interpersonal relationships, you know, and when you have client expectations, just trying to have those one-on-one relationships with your boarders and seeing what Mrs. Jones or the Smiths want, and just letting them know, okay, that we can do here, but no, we can't do that. And this is why.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's such a great point. So when we're talking about the people that we work with in this industry, what role does building a strong team play in preventing burnout? I know that team is so important, but maybe we don't really utilize it properly.
No. No one can do everything well. So again, going back to, I really think the delegation can help create consistency in a barn and also cross-training. It can reduce mistakes. When you have a trained staff, then, and you trust them, you can step back a little bit as the manager, the general manager. And I would say empower your team with responsibility, not just chores, you know, and help them build pride. And that'll, when they feel valued, people feel valued, they stay, you know? And so when people stay, things tend to run smoothly. The horses know what to expect and everyone just kind of clicks. When you have a strong team, then you can take vacations and, or gosh, for, you know, you get sick and you just don't feel like going into the barn. You physically can't, and you probably shouldn't, or any of those unexpected challenges, then you have that in place, that team, so that things can continue to run smoothly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that having a team that you can rely on is probably one of the most valuable things in this industry, especially because our horses are so special to us. So with the rise of technology and things like cameras in our barn and apps that we can use to help us keep organized, how could we utilize those better to help reduce stress and streamline our operations a little bit, maybe save us some time? I know that horse people notoriously don't like to change, so I think that some people might resist using these newer things, but I do think that there's a way that they could probably help us.
I think we should embrace technology. There is so much change that is happening right now. So I definitely think it can get overwhelming with what would we do? How do we do it? What is Wi-Fi? What's a router? You know, things like that. I think that apps and cameras are very effective. You know, a camera can help you do a quick, you know, horse check without having to run to the barn late at night. I think that you can use software or an app for scheduling your appointments, you know, for the farrier, the feed drop off or things like that. You can put down your feeding schedule and the amounts and just kind of have everyone on the same page. It can help turn the chaos into order. you might want to consider shared calendars and or group chats. Again, you'd have to set those boundaries on how long the chat is going to go for. but that might be some of the ways that technology could be useful in a business like this.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think another issue, and you kind of alluded to this earlier with this culture of we should be very tough and we should tough things out. I think that's part of the issue here with taking time off. A lot of horse people don't want to do it. They don't want to leave their horses. They're afraid to allow maybe their staff to handle everything while they're gone. So what advice would you give to barn managers who feel guilty or just don't feel like they can take time off?
Self-care is not selfish. It is so important. We hopefully have a good program for our horses and we give them downtime. And you need to do that as well for yourself. So if you burn out, everyone and everything suffers. Okay. So allow yourself, maybe you even have to schedule time off. Be like, I'm not going to do anything Sunday from 4 to 7, or, you know, I'm going to take a long weekend here once every quarter or something like that. It will help you stay sharp. It is so hard to walk away, especially when the horses need constant care, you know, but they need care from everyone, not just you. When you can take self-care, it also teaches your team that they can handle it as well. You know what I mean? They can take on that responsibility and make those decisions. So think about horses as a marathon. It's not a sprint. So we have to, so that we can have our horses last a long time, we want to last a long time as well.
Yeah, and I've heard people say too that, and I really look up to these people, you know, we give our horses a break, like maybe some horses have some weeks off during the winter or, you know, a week off here or there between shows during the summer because, you know, we want them to still enjoy their jobs and feel fresh and be ready to compete or work with us, whatever we like to do with them. And we need to do the same for ourselves because they want us to show up as our best selves as well. So hopefully people can remember that too.
Yes.
So for someone just starting out in the horse business, and I can relate to this because, you know, a few years ago when I was just starting out, this seemed very overwhelming. How can people set themselves up for a sustainable career right from the get-go?
That's a great question, because we really want people to continue to be in the industry or where industry is going to die out. And we want that institutional knowledge from the barns and the horse care and those examples of how to handle things passed down to people coming into the field. So again, I would say learn to pace yourself. You know, you don't have to take every client. You don't have to do every job. And that's really hard when you're starting out because you want the experience, you need the income, but you can also learn to assess and say, this may not be what I can do right now. And that's a hard thing to do because your ego, because you're like, I got this. Another thing, try to build, in my opinion, a financial system for yourself. Try to figure out your budget. Try to figure out if you can put $5, $20, you know, into a savings account and start building that up, and look at insurance. And that's a tricky subject right now, health insurance, being self-employed. But there are pathways where you can get coverage so that you don't have those unexpected medical things that'll occasionally happen as we go through life. for someone starting out, again, boundaries, 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 trying to figure out how to set those healthy work boundaries. Because once you get into something, sometimes it's hard to set those boundaries later. You can, but you have to be a little bit more assertive. And, you know, as you get into the industry, who would you like to be mentored by? You know, talk to them, talk to the people that you admire, their businesses or as trainers or writers or, you know, even owners, and just be like, wow, I would like to work with those kind of people, and try to have conversations with them and see if they'll share some of their mistakes so that you can avoid them as well.
Definitely. And I think a lot of people, but young people especially, get caught up in this idea that you have to do it all right away and you can't mm-hmm. say no to things. And I've mm-hmm. 100% done that and learned the hard way that that's not a good way to go about it. It's really important to, I think, do what you can do well and yeah. say no to some things if you need to, because if the quality of your work suffers or if your mental well-being suffers, that's definitely not ideal, and that's going to get you nowhere very fast.
Yes, I agree.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I feel like we could talk about this topic forever, though, but it's been awesome talking with you. Thank you so much for joining me.
I really appreciate the opportunity, and this is a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management Podcast to a friend.